Bibles again to Matthew chapter 2. It says in verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem," the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem, came from heaven, inhabited the body prepared by God for him in a mother's womb. Up to this time, this is the greatest single event in the history of the universe. There is no event to be compared to the coming of our Lord into this world in human flesh. John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was made flesh. The Word was with God. He dwelt among us. The Word was God. We beheld His glory." Philippians 2 said, "He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Himself the form of a man, was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Why did He come? Why did our Lord God become a man? Well, I want to show you the reason in two scriptures. Why did God become a man? In Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 through 17, Paul tells us why our Lord came to this earth in human flesh. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, "For it became Him, by whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." This is speaking of the Father. It's becoming to the Father. It's just like Him. It's becoming to His mercy and His love to send Christ. He sent it. The Father made the captain of our salvation perfect. A perfect righteousness, a perfect sacrifice, a perfect atonement through His suffering. The Father ordained that. Now listen. "Because both He that sanctifies," that's Christ, "and they who are sanctified," that's us, "are all of one. For which cause He's not ashamed to call us His brethren." We're one. As Jim prayed this morning, He's the head, we're the body, we're one. You can't have a head without a body, or a body without a head. We're one. "He said, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church." This is Christ speaking. "I'll sing praise to thee. And again, I put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children which God gave me." Now, God gave us to Christ before the world began. And it was just like the Father to send Him down here to redeem us. Now listen, and here's the reason He was made flesh. "For as much then as the children whom God gave Him," His brethren, "are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same." You're out there sitting there in flesh and blood and bones. The Lord Jesus Christ was made in the flesh just exactly like you and me. Just exactly. Eyes, ears, flesh, hunger. He thirsted, He wearied, He cried. He knew sorrow, sadness, troubles and sorrow, tempted in all points as we are. He took part of the same. Can you see what I'm saying? Same flesh, like you. Got to be like you to redeem you. "That through death He might destroy him that had the power of death." That is the devil. That's what God told him in Genesis 3:15. He said, "The seed of woman, that man, is going to destroy your head. Your authority, your power, your dominion, your kingdom, and everything is going to destroy you. And deliver us, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Captivity of Satan. He set us free. He came to set the captive free. Recovery of sight to the blind. Deliverance to the captive. "For verily, He took not on Him the nature of angels." Now, He didn't become an angel. He became a man. Why did the apostles say, even bring the angels up? They sinned too. They fell too. They were cast out too, out of heaven. Man was cast out of the garden, angels was cast out of heaven. But he didn't become an angel. He didn't come to redeem angels. He came to redeem men. He became a man. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful? He took on him the seed of Abraham. Seed of Abraham. That's who he is. He's the seed of Abraham. God said the promise is to Abraham and his seed. Not plural, as seeds, but seed, which is Christ. And we're always considered in him. We're never considered apart from him. We're loved in Christ, chosen in Christ, given to Christ, redeemed by Christ. God always considered us in him. He's the seed. We're in him. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him. It was essential, necessary. It behooved him to be made just like his brethren, that he might be a merciful, faithful high priest. And every high priest in the Old Testament was taken from among men in order to represent men to God in things pertaining to God. He's a faithful and high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation. He reconciled us to God. God was angry, and Christ reconciled us. Your sin separated you from God, and Christ reconciled us. That's right. Sins of his people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to encourage and help and satisfy them that are tempted. He's our comforter too. He's our solace and our consolation. Here's the second scripture now, Galatians 4. Why did he become a man? Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5 and 6. All right, listen. Galatians 4, verse 4. Now, when the fullness of time was come, that is, this is God's appointed time. Our Lord Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. I don't know how old the world is or how old the world's foundations are. I wouldn't even attempt to even guess how many years. But I know he was the Lamb slain in the beginning, before the foundations of the world. And all that God Almighty was pleased to do came down to one point right here. This great, wonderful day. The fullness of time. God himself. God, the Heavenly Father, sent forth his Son, and they're one. He that has seen me, seen my Father. I and my Father are one. And he sent his Son. He sent him made of a woman. That's how he got this flesh and blood. He was conceived in the womb, not by man. He was conceived in the womb by God. Our Lord said, a body you prepared me. He wasn't a descendant of Adam. He's the Son of God. And he was made of a woman, slowly carried, just like your little baby is being formed and fashioned in the womb, waiting for our Lord Jesus Christ in the body, lay in the womb. Explain that I cannot, believe it I do. God was made in a woman's womb and was born with the same pain and travail and difficulty that you women suffer when you bring forth a child. Mary brought forth her firstborn child, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. There he is, the tender plant, the root out of dry ground. There he is, the root of Jesse, seed of Jesse, root of David, lying in that manger. Made under the law, it was necessary for him to be circumcised when he's 8 days old. That's the law. Named him when he was 8 days old, circumcised. Necessary for her to bring her offerings to the temple, just like all the other Jewish mothers. Necessary for him to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Necessary. All his own law which he made was laid upon him for perfect obedience. Perfect obedience. He prayed at the end of his life, when before he died on the cross, he said, Father, I've glorified you on this earth. Perfectly. I've kept the law in jot and tittle. Every letter. Made of a woman, made under the law. Why? Here it is. To redeem them. Our kinsmen redeemed. Buy back what we lost. restore from that point from which we fell, even higher, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Look back across the page at Galatians 3, verse 10. Here we are, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, because it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. And no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. That's evident. The just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. But now here's what Christ did for us. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's why he was made flesh. That's why he was born in Bethlehem. Because by man came death, by man came life. Because in Adam we die, in Christ we're made alive. Because by one man sin entered this world and death by sin, and because of that one man, we were all made sinners. By the righteousness of Christ, we were made holy. In other words, our Lord's coming into this world has its foundation in three attributes of God. There are many attributes of God, but three major attributes of God demand that Christ come if we're to be redeemed. One is His holiness. God is holy. We've got to be holy too. And in Christ we're holy. Number two, God is just. God must punish sin. And in Christ He punished our sin. God in Christ can be just and justify me. God is holy. In Christ we're holy. God is just. In Christ our sins are paid for. Payment, God's justice, cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding shirt His hand, then again mine. He paid it all the debt I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. And then the third attribute, why He came, God's holy, God's just, God is love. I heard a preacher say one time, well, God could damn everybody or God could save everybody. And I thought, now, wait a minute. God, I don't know. God might could save everybody. That's God's business. But He can't damn everybody. He can't damn everybody and be God is love, can He? Love's got to be expressed. Love's got to have an object. Love's got to be shown. That's right. Love needs someone. As I used to have a song, you ain't nobody till somebody loves you. That's about right, you know. You got to have that. And God is love. Moses asked Him one time, says, show me your glory. He says, my goodness. That's my chief glory. So that's why Christ came, because God's holy, just, and He's plenteous in mercy. I will be holy. I will be just. But I will be merciful. That's the good news. You can go for it and tell folks that. That's established back in the garden. That's established in the garden when Adam fell. And God said, I promise you, I'm going to put enmity between the serpent, his seed, and the woman, her seed. And that serpent's seed will bruise his heel. But he'll bruise his head. And then God Almighty took an animal. The first blood wasn't Abel's offering. The first blood was when God slew the animal. Maybe an angel did it. You know, He said God killed Moses and buried him. Maybe an angel buried Moses by God's orders. But maybe God dug the grave. I don't know. But I do know that lamb was slain. The first blood in the Garden of Eden was slain. The first blood was shed and the first animal slain to cover our nakedness. And God Almighty did that. Now that's mercy. That's showing us mercy. That's right. That's showing us mercy. Well, these wise men knew some things about that. Let's go back to our text. They looked for the coming Messiah. You know, Simeon wasn't the only one that looked for the Messiah. The woman at the well. Our Lord Jesus told her that, he said, you know what you worship. You know what you worship. God's a spirit. They that worship him in spirit and truth. She said, well, when the Messiah comes, he'll tell us. She's looking for this king. This Messiah. She didn't know he was up. He's sitting there talking to her. He said, I'm he. This woman was looking for the Messiah. That's right. She certainly was. And these wise men were looking for the Messiah. Because it says here, let's read chapter 2 of Matthew. Go back there. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he's already born. That's what I told you a while ago. In Judea. In the days of Herod and King, behold, there came wise men from the east, from another country. They came. And they said, where is he? Where is he that's born, King of the Jews? Where's the Messiah? We've seen his star. We come to worship. Who are these men? You know, I sat there and looked at that and I thought, now who are these men? Well, you know, I've never noticed this. Right there in the margin of your Bible, it says here in the margin of your Bible, they came from the east country to Jerusalem. There's a little E there, and it refers you to Genesis 25, verse 6. Let's go over that. Genesis 25, verse 6. Let's see what it says. Let's see what it says. Now, we know Abraham had a son named Isaac. And Isaac shall thy seed be called. We know he had a son named Ishmael that he had to send away. But he had a bunch of other sons and grandsons after Sarah died. Genesis 25, listen, verse 1. Then again, Abraham took a wife after Sarah died. Her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, 1, Jokshan, 2, Medan, 3, Midian, 4, Ishbak, 5, Shelah, 6 sons. And then Jokshan begat Sheba and Dedan. There's 2 more grandsons. And the sons of Dedan were Ashurim and Methusim. Here's some names for your children, ladies. Le'umim. And then Midian sons were Ephah and Hanok. That's about a dozen grandsons. And Abida, an elder, and all these were children of Keturah. This woman had 6 sons and grandsons and great-grandsons, and Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but to the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, he gave gifts. You know, he taught them just like he taught Isaac. Abraham was an old man here. He lived, what did it say down here in verse 7? 175 years. And he taught Isaac. You know, when they started up that mountain to worship the Lord, Isaac, pretty good-sized young man. And he said, Father, here's the fire and here's the wood. Where's the lamb? You've been teaching me that you can't come to God without a lamb. Got to have a lamb. You've been teaching me about the Messiah. Where's the lamb? Abraham said, son, he's coming. God will provide him. And every one of these boys, every one of them was taught by Abraham. His sons and grandsons were taught by Abraham. Wouldn't you like to be taught by Abraham? Yes, sir. Now look at verse 5 now. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while yet he lived. Where'd they go? Eastward to the east country. Where did these wise men come from? Matthew 2, verse 1. They came from the east country. These wise men were grandsons right on down the line of Abraham. And like the Samaritan woman, the Samaritan and the Jews had nothing to do with one another. But any time you think there's just one fellow believes in God, you listen to God talk to Elijah. Elijah, he said, I got 7,000 that never have bowed the knee to Baal yet. You're not the only one. And these men came from the east country because they saw the star for which they had looked. That's right. Well, how many were there? Well, if you go around town and see all the nativity scenes, it seems there were 3. But the Bible doesn't say there were 3 wise men. Nowhere. I don't know whether it's a dozen or two dozen or six or one. I know there's more than one. They're wise men. But here they came from the east country to Jerusalem. They didn't know where to go. They had seen his star. And they came from their east country to worship him. And they didn't come to a manger. You go down to the nativity scenes and there's these three wise men holding these bowls, you know. They didn't come to the manger. They didn't even come the night he was born. The shepherds came that night. Let's go to Luke 2 and see about these shepherds here. These wise men didn't come to the manger. I've told y'all, don't look at the pictures. Young people, these picture books, these Bible picture books, don't look at the pictures. They're deceiving. There were no wise men at the manger. They were Mary and Joseph and the babe, and some shepherds came. Now here's when they came. In Luke 2, verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's go right now, this very night, even to Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph. And they found the babe still in a manger. And when they saw it, had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. Well, now these men were in their home country in the east when the babe was born. He was already born. They were at home. And they came all the way to Jerusalem. However far that was and however long it took them to get there. But what about this seeing the star? You saw it three times. They talked about this star they saw in chapter 2. Or chapter 2, verse 1. That's verse 2. Matthew 2, verse 2. They said, "Where is he that's born King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east. We've come to worship him." Special revelation of God. A sign in the heaven. They said in verse 9. It says in verse 9, "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east, back yonder, it appeared again and went before them till they came and stood where the young child was." Verse 10, "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with joy unspeakable." Joy, with great joy. Well, I looked up the star. There's a scripture in Numbers 24. Let's turn over there a minute. Balaam, who prophesied by the power and grace of God, he says something about the star. In Numbers 24, I can't handle too much of this, but I'll just show you where it's mentioned, and I'll show you another scripture where Christ calls himself the star. But Numbers 24, verse 15. Numbers 24, 15. "And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the visions of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. Now listen, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. And there shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession, and Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies. And Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city." The star out of Jacob. And then over in Revelation, let's take time to look at this one here. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. 22, verse 16. And our Lord speaking here, "I, Jesus," Revelation 22, 16, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David. I'm the bright and the morning star." And somehow, the Lord was pleased to direct these men with a sign in the heavens, a star. We've seen his star. And then when they went through this, well, Let me show you this. It took them, I don't know how long to get to Jerusalem. But I do know they prepared for the journey, and back then you didn't go to the next day. They prepared for the journey. They came to Jerusalem. And then they had a discussion with some people there and with the king. Let's look at verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, what these men were saying, they were going all over Jerusalem saying, "Where is he? Where's the king of the Jews? Where is he this boy? We see his star." And the king heard this, Herod. And it troubled him. And all Jerusalem troubled with him. Like Brother Scott said, these men didn't come in town on the back of a pickup truck. These were wise men from a far country that were inquiring about a king. And Herod was upset and the people were upset. So Herod, verse 4, gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together and demanded of them where this Christ should be born. Where this Christ should be born. Now this takes time. There's time elapsing here. And they said to him, they quoted the scripture in Bethlehem of Judea, it's written in the prophets, written by the prophet, "Thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not least among the princes of Judah. Out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." That's right. Well, Herod called these men to himself and they told him that. Then he sent for the wise men, these visitors from the east. Verse 7, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently, "Now, when was it you saw this star? Tell me the time when you saw this star, when it first appeared. Star appeared to you." And then he said to them, "Now, I want you to go to Bethlehem. These fellows, these Jews, told me that their king was going to be born in Bethlehem. I want you wise men to go to Bethlehem, and you search, and you find that young child. And when you found him, you bring me the word that I may come and worship him too." The time is passing. How long do you reckon Joseph left Mary in that cow stable? He moved out the next day, is my guess. She's got to fix meals. Let's be plain about this. She's got to take care of, she's got to get him out of that manger and get him into a house. And while all this going on, these wise men, Joseph is moving his family into some kind of dwelling. You see, the taxation time is over now. And people have gone home, so there's room. There wasn't room in the inn when they got there. But there's room now, and he's rented a place or borrowed a place to go. And so these fellows left Herod, look at verse 9, and they heard the king, and they departed. And here we are again, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them to Bethlehem, not over, 4 or 5 miles out of Jerusalem. You've been reading about the paper lately, it's close by Bethlehem. So they came to Bethlehem, until it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, I can't guess the age of our Lord at this time, but it's somewhere several weeks or months. He's a young child, and they're in a house. So that discounts this thing, the pictures, the wise men with the shepherds and all. It's just not there. And they came, the star stood over where the young child was, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced. Now listen to verse 11. And when they came into the house, in this house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Nothing is said of Joseph here. And I don't really know why, but he's just not mentioned. But they found the young child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. They fell down and worshipped him. That's what Simeon did when he received the child in his arms. A young child like about the size it was, these men saw. Lifted his eyes to heaven and said, "I've seen your salvation." They just saw a child. Just one they've been looking for. That's one Abraham talked about way back down and came right down through the families to these men now. And when, let's read verse 11. They came into the house where the young child was with Mary's mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him and his mother gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These were valuable. These are wealthy men, more than likely. Valuable. This is worth a lot. I remember, Joseph and Mary are poor people. They're poor people out of Nazareth. That was where they lived when they came to Bethlehem to be taxed. But they were poor people. And there wasn't any room for them in the inn. That's the reason their firstborn was born late in a manger. Poor people. And these men, however many they were, the reason I think they say there's three wise men is there's three gifts. They come to the conclusion. This is what men do. They come to conclusions without scripture. And they figure, well, each one had a gift. But I don't know how much gold they had, how much gift. But this gold and frankincense and myrrh is going to serve a purpose, God's purpose. God sent them there to bring these gifts. Because, listen, read on. Verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. Now, these men are men of God. God speaks to them. God warned them. He spoke to Paul, the apostle, by an angel, by a dream. He spoke to Zacharias. He spoke to Elizabeth. He spoke to these people. And he speaks to these wise men in a dream. He said, now don't you go back to Jerusalem. So they departed another way and went to their own country. And when they were departed, now this is interesting. Behold, the angel of the Lord approached Joseph in a dream. And he said to Joseph, now rise and take this young child with his mother and flee to Egypt. Joseph's got money now. Joseph, that's a long ways. That's a journey. He's going to a strange land, Egypt. He's got to have a home. He's got to have a job. He's got to have occupation. He's got to have money. And God just gave it to him. These wise men bought all he's going to need. All he's going to need for a long time. That's right. And so God says, go to Egypt and be there until I bring you word, because Herod's going to seek to destroy the child. Now look down at verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked to the wise men, that they left another way, he was angry and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under. So, I don't know what Herod knew when they first saw this star. And he began to get his figures together. And he said, I better kill all of them 2 years under. And they did. And that's the reason God sent the Lord Jesus with his parents, with Joseph and his mother to Egypt. But that's not the only reason that he sent them. Verse 14. And Joseph arose and took the young child and his mother by night, slipped out of town, and departed unto Egypt. And he was there till the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Hosea the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. The word of God is so exact. Back yonder in the Old Testament, says the Lord Jesus Christ is going to live in Egypt. He's going to be called a Nazarene. He's going to live in Egypt. And his father is just broke, poor. But God sent these wise men and fulfilling his promise to them and to their people. They went back home and told the people, said, we found him of whom Moses wrote. We found him. And then they gave Joseph all these things that he'd need to go to Egypt and live there. And then when Herod died, to come from Egypt back up to Nazareth. And I wrote down here, to purchase a carpenter shop so he could have a job and work. God provided all that he needed. And he worked, and the Lord Jesus Christ was brought up there in Nazareth. But in closing, there's much interest to us in these men because of example. And I've got four things to give you in before I close. And this, number one, wise men still seek the Lord. These men are called wise men. I don't know why they're called wise men. I know one reason they're called wise men, because they were seeking the Lord. That's right. And that's what it says over here in Psalm 2. And you, everyone here, You'll be a wise man if you seek the Lord. And never stop coming to Him. He says here in Psalm 2, verse 10, be wise. Therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, and kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. You know, was it Philip that went to find Nathanael? And he said, we found him of whom Moses wrote. And he said, who is he? He said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, can any good come out of Nazareth? What did Philip say? Come and see. Come and see. That's what these men did. They came. The wise men came to seek the Lord. Secondly, what brought them to where he was? Now, here they are in the east country, and here the king's born in Bethlehem. God put a sign in the heaven so that they could find him. And the Lord's given us plenty of signs, plenty of directions. The Old Testament is just full of stars that point out who he is, where he is, what he did, why he did. All the way through the Old Testament, there's plenty of signs now. You don't need to grope around in the dark. If you'll just look for the signs, he'll show you where he is. He'll show you who he is. Because these men came there and they said, where is he? Where is he? They were looking for a person. Secondly, they said, where is he that's born king? They weren't looking for somebody that a bunch of people made king. They were looking for someone who was born king. King from all eternity. And they said, where is he that's born king of Israel? King of the Jews. He's king by design, he's king by decree, and he's king by death. Where is he? Well, the directions are right here. All you need to know about him is right here. And then thirdly, they said this. They said, they wise men, they're seeking the Lord. And they followed the stars that God, the signs God gave them. And they came for the right reason. We've come so that we can get in on this kingdom business now. We've come so that we can form some new organization now. They say, we're going to worship him. We won't worship him. Not argue, not debate, not socialize, not organize, not be recognized. We won't come worship him. That's, if you have that goal in mind, you're fine. We'll come worship. Come ye who love the Savior's name, and joy to make it known. The sovereign of your heart proclaim, and bow before his throne. Behold our King, our Savior crowned with glory all divine. Tell the people all around how bright his glory shines. Infinite power, boundless grace, in him unite their rays. You that have ever beheld his face will forever sing his praise. If I spent 40 lifetimes talking about him, it'd still be like Sheba's queen. The half has never been told. Never been told. Wise men seek the Lord. And wise men follow the stars. And wise men worship him. And it's the last thing I want to give you is in verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw him. They saw him. He that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath life. And when they saw him, they fell down and worshipped him. You know that's what John said on the island when he was exiled, and he heard the voice. He said, I turned, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet and worshipped him. And these men, when they saw him, they fell at his feet and worshipped him. Saul of Tarsus said, I saw him, and I fell down. I fell down. And you know what the next thing says? Listen, verse 11, when they came into the house, they saw him, and they fell down and worshipped him. and then they open their treasures. When God opens a man's heart, or a woman's heart, He'll open their eyes to see Him. He'll open their ears to hear Him. He'll open their lips to praise Him. And He'll open their hands to bless others. That was it. They saw Him. They fell and worshipped Him. And then they opened their hands. And God used them to bless Joseph and Mary, do His bidding, fulfill His purpose, do His will. They never asked Joseph, what you going to do with this? That wasn't any of their business. But when God opened their hearts, He opened their hands. And we leave the business to Him, whose business it is. And we just give. I hope that's a blessing to you. It was to me. I want us to sing.